You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We have Robbie Fox in studio with us right now. He's holding his guitar and kind of ready to go. G'day, mate. How's it going?
It's going great.
Cool.
Hey, is it your first time in New Zealand,
First
Robbie?
Time, yeah.
Cool. And you're making your way over to Australia because there's a huge big country festival happening in Australia very shortly.
Oh, correct? My God. Is that where I'm headed?
I think so.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Worry about tonight.
I'm just happy with a tuning fork. You know, I didn't know there was a big deal going on.
That's our little New Zealand festival. Everything's just slightly smaller here, but ever so quaint.
It's great. There's like a million people here. I think it's big, you know. I think it's great.
Where do you hail from?
Well, East Coast of United States, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina. I was about a third each of my youth in those places. And I've been in Chicago for the last 34 years now, so.
Wow. I've heard cool things about Chicago.
Why the move to Chicago?
Well, I knocked up this girl, and she lived in Chicago, and we thought, what are we gonna do now, you know? So her parents, they lived in Chicago, and you're looking at me like I'm making it up, but I'm telling you the truth. So we just thought, oh, we'll move in with her parents, you know? And then I just stayed there, you know, after that. It was 34 years ago, you know? Anyway, that's a poor reason to move to a place, but I like it there.
And you sort of, you established yourself as a musician in Chicago?
Well, as much as you can, you know. It's not like New York or Nashville. It's a little bit more difficult. But I knocked around the club scene there for about 10 years, and then I finally got wise and went to Nashville. And as soon as I went to Nashville, things started clicking, you know. I got a job and stuff writing music, and things started moving along for me then.
What sort of time period were you in Nashville?
Well, I first visited there in 1993, mm-hmm. and then, as I say, I got a job pretty much right away working for a publisher there and writing songs, and at the same time I got started as a sort of indie act on a little label in Chicago. There's a little label there that puts out country, punk, hybrid music called Bloodshot, and I started with them about 1995, I guess.
And at some point, Steve Albini, you've made a connection with him. What was that? How did that come about?
Well, I started working with him in 1986, so not long after I moved to town. And we had a mutual friend, and I had a straight job at a law firm, and he played sax on these records by Big Black, which was Steve's band at the time. And he said, hey, I got this crazy friend, and he records music out of his house. It's really loud, you know, junky sound and atonal music. And I said, that sounds great, because I like working with people that are totally different from me, but he's super smart and a really good engineer, but his like aesthetic is totally different from mine, so we get along great.
Do you search out certain engineers because you hope that they sort of pull something different out of you than what you're going to take to the recording process?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, at that point, I was so young and fresh that anybody that knew more than I did, which he knew plenty more, was good to come across. Mm-hmm. And of course, Steve's well known for, you know, if you have the money, he'll do it. He's sort of a working man mm-hmm. engineer. But I do like to, you know, I've got a short list of probably producer engineer types that I'm really eager to work with. And you're right, they don't, you know, they're not Americana.
Yeah,
engineer producers.
You're bringing enough of that anyway, I guess.
Yeah, I'm bringing what I'm bringing, and I don't even really care for Americana music, a lot of it, that mm-hmm. much. So I shouldn't say that, but
I feel like it's a vast, you know, it's kind of such a blanket term, isn't it? Really, I mean,
and it blankets a lot of boring stuff, a lot of like just 70s retread popular music, I think. So yeah, I like country music. I like that. That's another broad tent, but I love steel guitars and fiddles and songs about alcoholism and that kind of thing. You know, I listen to that all day.
Right on, cool. Hey, how about we get one of your songs so everyone kind of knows where you're coming from, and then we'll have another little yarn.
That sounds good.
Sweet.
Well, goodbye, Virginia, your green meadow ground. I've worked your beer joints, Winchester on down. Now there's 10 women wounded and 2 good trucks gone. I've burned up my good luck, some County. I was young and aflame.
with a dream and a dreadnought, I'd soon make my name. But you can't make a living on a song and a prayer, and the men in those bar rooms are too drunk. City, there's a straight 9 to 5. Give me paper and I'll push it, a truck and I'll drive. But no more I'll return to the land of my youth. 20 years of hard country's too much of the truth. So it's goodbye, Virginia, you green. Winchester on down. Now there's 10 women wounded and 2 good trucks gone. I've burned up my good luck, sung my last song. So it's goodbye, Virginia, so
this is where we guess the name of the song. I'm going to go with Goodbye Virginia.
Goodbye Virginia.
right on. I see you're going to hold the stage very fine by yourself. Do you play with a band very often, though? Or?
I do, yeah. And I'm here with a fiddler, so oh, cool. It's kind of a half of a band, I guess.
Sweet.
But,
sort of leads will be singing over that as well?
He's a good singer and a great fiddler. And, his name's Shad Cobb. And we'll be doing it at, 9 o'clock tonight over that place.
Cool. Now, I sort of got curious about you being a musician, sort of with a bit of history in the South, the Southern states of America. Earlier this year, I visited some friends in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've ever gone, to that side of the states. And one of my friends is working in the music business down there, and he was like, as a New Zealander, people often think of like trying to make it in the States, uh-huh. and they would always go to, say, California or, say, East Coast New York mm-hmm. and try and crack it. But he said the music scene in the South is actually so big and so vast and so strong that it's sort of an area that people sort of discount. Do you find as a musician that you've got a lot of support through that sort of southern belt of America? Or
is it more of a respect thing? You kind of got, you do that route and kind of get the props.
Well, I don't know. I'm not symbolic of anything, really, because I'm kind of a weirdo in this whole scene. Like, it's hard to pigeonhole or name what I do. It sounds, I just did it, and anybody could hear it, strongly country, but I don't really have a natural home. So anyway, I'm just saying don't take what I say as indicative of anything. But for me personally, it's like my hometown's a little bit of a magnet, so the farther I get from Chicago, the lower my draws tend to be. But New York and Seattle and San Francisco are also three of my biggest places to play. So the big towns, and unfortunately that doesn't include Atlanta for some reason, although more recently it does. I don't know. Atlanta's big on hip-hop. The hip-hop is great out of Atlanta. And I think bluegrass does pretty well down there. And, the raucous country music probably too. I'm not real informed about Atlanta. What did you think of the place?
I thought it was great. It was my first time there, and it was my expectation. I just had no expectation, and I was really surprised about how green it was and how vibrant it was. And I had a good time. It was fun.
Very cosmopolitan
place. Yeah, totally, totally.
A little too hot, but...
We were there in early spring, so
perfect.
It was nice and mild.
Perfect.
Nice and mild. Now, and are you sort of in the midst of a big worldwide tour? Have you hit Europe or anything like that in the last 12 months, 18 months?
No, not 18 months. It's been about, I think, 2.5 years now since I've been over there. And I was getting there about once a year, and I just kind of burned out on a little bit. But I was in Hawaii last month and here this month. And I'm bumping around the States all the time.
Are you still touring on, is it Upland Stories?
Yeah. Well, it's been about 1.5 years, so, yeah, marginally, yeah.
Yeah.
And just curiously, who do you cite as influences? I mean, I could think of obvious ones, but curious to see what you dig and what's
moved
you.
Who do you think are obvious? I want to hear that.
Oh, well, I think, I don't know, I want to say, like, just like your Hank Williams and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Hank Williams, in terms of traditional country music, him and Roger Miller probably, and in terms of guitar picking, like, I love Doc Watson and Norman Blake and people like that, and in terms of singing, just kind of all over the map. I like a lot of female singers, you know. I'm looking at Bjork up here on your wall, and I love her, and I love my friend Lucinda Williams, and it's just kind of all over the...
You a Nico Case fan at all?
I'm a friend of hers.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I would say more than a fan, but a fan too. Yeah, but
fantastic.
A friend first. Yeah,
John,
yeah.
John introduced me to Nico Case. She's something else. Man.
She played down here a few years ago, and I swear it's one of my absolute favorite
all right,
shows.
Mate, calm down.
What
now,
a
John.
Great singer! Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I think she's single still, folks.
Okay.
Yeah.
John's
do
not.
Email?
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Let's crank into another one. If maybe give us a little story behind it, if you've got something lying around.
Well, I feel like doing short songs on your show because you guys have a swinging radio show, and I don't want to bog it down with like a 5-minute song. But this is a
we're easy, man. We're easy. Help yourself. We're just happy to have you here.
I'm just going to do you one off. You mentioned my record Upland Stories, and it's got some. It's got some kind of downer songs on it, and this is kind of a reflective song, and it's partly based on traveling around, being middle-aged, traveling, and it's also how these memories kind of swim into your head when you're like, I'm 54, so I'm getting on a little bit, but I don't know, this girl from when I was young swam into my head one night, and this is called Sarah Jane. Young in Charlottesville, that was a long, long time. Now I'm homesick and I'm poor. Poor is at least no crime. As long as I am a dollar down, tomorrow might get better. If I could erase each place I've gone, I could stop singing forever. My Sarah Jane, long years since I met you. Oh, my Sarah Jane, how many till I can forget you? Was born to be. Filled my pockets with shells from the bay. Kids far away need minding. I'll be home come Saturday and put my dreaming behind me. Oh, my Sarah Jane, long years since I met you. Oh, sweet Sarah Jane, how many till I can forget you?
All right, very nice.
Thank you.
Everybody can kind of relate to that. What does it mean when you remember an ex, you know, and you're like, oh, doesn't mean that I like you anymore. It's just you popped into my brain.
Yeah, that's funny. And that girl wasn't even an ex. She just passed me on the street one time, and she gave me a look, and I thought, wow.
Heavy.
That's kind of a good look. Before, I just knew her from the smoking pit at school. In high school, we had this smoking pit, and she'd go up and smoke cigarettes, you know, and she got cancer later in life. But anyway, that's a...
Shit, that's another song.
Yeah, it's another song.
Let's move on to gear, because I've seen the picture on the Facebook page here for Robbie Fox live tonight at the Tuning Fork, and you're playing a lovely old, sort of an arch top, F-shape hole guitar.
Nobody's ever asked about that.
Is that I assume someone that is mainly voice and mainly guitar takes a lot of pride in what they play, so...
Yeah.
Tell us about your instrument.
Well, I've got a Collings Dreadnought that I'm playing right now, and that's the one that I both like it a lot. And the other thing that's true is if it gets smashed in travel, I can get another one if I save up a couple $1,000, which isn't true of my Martins. I've got a couple Martins that are more valuable. And I've got one that a luthier that I like a lot, Roy McAllister from the Santa Cruz Guitar Company, made for me a while ago, that's a small, like double low size mahogany guitar. And then I've got a few random ones. And the one in the photograph is one that my father-in-law pulled out of a dumpster one time.
All right.
And I had it kind of redone, but it's still not really playable. It looks great. It's an old K from the early 60s, but it's not really playable.
Maybe a good slide guitar.
It's good for nothing, really. I know what you mean. You think if the strings are a mile from the fretboard,
yeah,
you can do something with it. Not even that.
I know this is kind of weird, but I just noticed your case is like, it looks like carbon fiber.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is it like super light?
It is pretty light. You're welcome.
I'm just going to come around and have a
look. Yeah, pick it up.
By the way, sorry, John, I'll just ask you.
How would you describe the lining of the carbon fiber case?
Oh, we're really getting interesting here.
Sort of a shag carpet.
Who's that guy on Sesame Street that used to live in the rubbish bin?
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, it's kind of that.
Yeah.
And hey, the reason he's grouchy is he's living in a rubbish bin.
So. Yeah, of course,
right?
Of course.
Not his fault, is it?
Yeah, I'm not singing the blues. I'm over at the Waldorf.
Oh, it's really, that's a fancy case, I'll tell you what.
Not that fancy.
Does it, but it protects the beast.
It does. You know, if you have to put it through baggage, it does something more than a regular hard shell. It's called a Hoffy. They make them near where I live.
Cool.
I'd sort of done a regular peruse of Wikipedia before you came into the studio to chat to us this evening. And I'd seen that a couple of covers occasionally sneak into your set. Is that still true?
Well, yeah, now and again, less true than before. I think my kid wrote my Wikipedia page when he was like 11.
John's just updated it with a bunch of stuff as well. Are you open to how do you deal with hecklers going, play the one about the thing?
I'm fine with hecklers. I'm just happy if they're engaged with what I'm doing on any level. I'm very happy with it, and I can generally handle those people fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, can we sneak one more out of if you don't mind, Robbie?
Yeah, you bet. I should do something that's a little bluegrassy since I'm alive, you know. This one's about my. Do we have time to give it like a minute introduction?
Yeah,
absolutely.
This one's about my aunt, my great aunt, and when I was a kid, she played the banjo, and I also played the banjo. So I was about maybe 8 at the time, and she was about 108 probably. She's super old, and she made records and traveled around doing her act, and that's all I knew about her was that A, she made records, and B, I didn't like her music because I heard one of her records at home, and to me it just sounded like, you know, it sounded like some biblical howling from the coast of Atlantis or something. And so my parents were like, hey, we're going to go visit her. And this one day in the early 70s, and they threw my banjo in the car. Said, we're going to go visit your old widowed banjo-playing great aunt. But it turned out when we went up to her house, she wasn't widowed. She was widowed, but also a newlywed. So there was this guy hanging around. And that's what I thought.
Complex.
I thought, yeah, in my 8-year-old mind, I thought, I didn't want to think about even like elderly people having sex, but...
Now we all have to think about it.
Now, I'm happy to think about that. But then, I thought it was kind of gross. So this guy was hanging around, and he was playing the fiddle with her, and so it was doubly bad. You know, like an out-of-tune fiddle and a banjo going, ah, yeah. So I didn't say anything about her playing. I thought, this is not my cup of tea. I played for her, and then she said to me, it turned out she didn't like my playing either, but she told me that I was a bad player. And she said, yeah, you're playing terribly. Let's have some lunch or something instead.
And How did she cook? Yeah.
Great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the food was much better.
Oh, yeah.
But the greatest thing of that day, probably, for as far as the world is concerned, that was that I stopped playing the banjo, because she was correct. I was a crappy banjo player.
You were no Steve Madden.
I was not even Dean Martin on the banjo. So there's a tune about that day that I met her. It's called Aunt Peg's New Old Man. We came up the hill to meet him in the dirt patch. He was weeding. That was our first look at Aunt Peg's new old man. Now Uncle Hank was 75. He lived well and then he died, and none of us had nothing against her new old man. She liked his fiddle and no doubt liked his help on the railroad route, and the rest didn't bear thinking about Aunt Peg's new old man. Now we sat down and we got fed along grace, but what a spread. The chicken was just 1 hour dead and the stew was made of barley. I pulled out my banjo after a while, but he didn't like the scrub style. Listen up, boy, this year's call.
That off the mic stuff, that was actually John doing that. Rad, very, very nice. It's not often, well, I mean, this is your first time in New Zealand, isn't it?
It's what?
This is your first time in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Oh, God, yeah, I got here at 5 this morning, and I wish I could stay longer.
You're holding up well.
Yeah.
Doors to the Tuning Fork tonight opens at 7 o'clock right at the end of the show, and get along and watch Robbie Fox with Ben Matswick. Matswick? How do you say that last name, John?
Mastwick.
Thanks, John. And Lisa Crawley. And we're spoiled all this week, so enjoy this Southern Fork Americana Fest, no doubt.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'll see you down there tonight.
Thanks a lot.
Cool.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Right on, man.
Appreciate it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.